Resonator.
The smile on your crow, sing with a smile on your face.
Resonator.
That beat is one of the hardest. Could you text me in that song? That beat is one of the hardest beats. I swear to God, bro. I've never heard that before. That beat is one of the hardest beats. Is that on Play Music? Bro, that's one of the hardest, like, songs ever. Like, the beat is just it flows. Bro.
Resonator. Music that makes you go woo.
Music to make you go woo. So welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa, you know, the crazy mother-daughter hosts of the show and also publishers of Big Blend Magazines, a digital group of publications, and full-time travelers on the Love Your Park tour. So today we are going, we're going to close down the Golden Gate. We're going from Oakland to Brooklyn to chat with The Resonator. And The Resonator is producer and singer Derek Buckwalter. So Derek, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me here.
Hey, cool. This is great. So music to make you go, whoa, where did that come from? I mean, this is like the first track on your album, which is Resonator.
So
yeah, that's the intro. It kind of gets you into that feel of like, all right, it's like a welcome in. It is like a welcome into this zone when you listen to the album. It's like you open the door, sat down, and now you're all cozy.
Yeah, I try to cultivate a feeling with the music I create. So back in 2014, when I started this project, I thought what would be the most true and authentic way to describe my music? Because people always say, if you can't summarize what you're doing down to one sentence, you're not doing it right. And if you can, you know what you're doing. So I thought that the best way to describe my music would be music that makes you go, ooh. So that's the feeling that I get whenever I play out live. That's the feeling I get whenever I record something, whenever someone hears a song that I'm working on, they always go, ooh. So I thought that it'd be a fun play on that.
Yes, there's cool. A ooh and a woo and a, you know, everybody's got a different way of saying ooh and woo, you know. and so Resonator, I mean, I love this. And everyone, it's R-Z-N-8-R, Resonator. So, like, you got into the whole, like, you know, the verbiage. And Resonator.com is the website to go to, but it's spelled out with those letters and the word, the number 8. So where did that come from? Because Nancy was getting it all into John the Revelator with the Resonator. I'm like, okay, we're going back to blues to now. But you do actually have a little bit of bluesy stuff going on in your album,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because I could hear it. Yeah, John the Revelator.
Yeah. When I started this, my inspiration was this other artist. I think he's out of London. I got really into him when I was learning how to make music. His name was Subtract, spelled S-B-T-R-K-T, and I just loved his sound. So I thought, hey, if he's doing it right and he's doing cool stuff and he's getting booked to play these shows, you know, why can't I? Like, if you see him play live, dude is crazy with the buttons, with the electronic components. Like, there's this old video of him in the now defunct Turntable Lab space in Manhattan, where I bought my first MIDI controller, actually. My parents bought it for me when I visited New York, and I had this idea, in 10 years, I'm going to live here before I'm 30. And I manifested the shit out of that. So there's a video of him playing live and it just inspired me. So I thought I could spell it the standard way, but I wanted to keep it to the number of letters that my own name has, Derek. Like, I wanted to keep it around the same number of letters, so I thought that it would be a better way. Also, I just really like how it looks. Like,
on a sticker.
Yeah.
Merchandise. If you got merchandise, mm-hmm. you got T-shirts on the website. But
no,
it does,
cool.
and it's clever,
it's
and it's just
cool.
like, yeah, Resonator. And we're at this point now. I mean, I need words to get to, like, that place because, like, if any, you know, all my friends and people know, when they see my text messages, like, it, that's what, I'm not putting every letter in there. Look, I
no,
got fat
no,
fingers.
Definitely not.
I think it should be top down, shortened, shorthand. It's shorthand.
Well,
back in the day,
all these tech companies, they always take out a letter or add a letter in. So I figure if they can do it, why can't I? You know,
it's a good password. Well, not now.
Not now.
Yeah, not now. No.
Don't use it as a password.
No, that's definitely not going to use that as a password.
So you were raised in Oakland, right? And did you live most of your life there?
Yeah, so I was raised in Oakland. I grew up there. My parents had a house in the Oakland Hills.
Cool.
Which, in retrospect, it was gorgeous. As a teenager, it was very frustrating when I would want to go somewhere, I couldn't drive. So I would try to get out of the hills. You can't really bike out of the hills, but
That's beautiful.
It's gorgeous, and it was a really big inspiration. I had a little studio growing up there as a teenager. When I was sick in my junior year, I decided to create decorations all around the room and cover every inch of wall space. So if you go on my Instagram, there's some videos of just how it looks because my parents left it as it is. Like, they don't want to do anything different with it. So I decided to take some videos, and my best friend – for my birthday, she made me a moon because she's a talented artist, and she made me a moon. So I thumbtacked the moon to the wall, too, and I got all these decorations from a disco party. So, yeah, I grew up my whole life in Oakland. I was part of this choir growing up, so I was a choir boy. That was my first exposure to music. Then I moved to San Francisco for college. There was a major that I really liked at the school that my dad taught at, so I got to go to school for free. Thank God.
Yeah, cool.
Thank God.
Cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
all
really.
These people in debt. It's just wild.
Isn't it crazy?
Economy works.
Mm.
It's wild.
We've got to change some stuff. I'm just saying.
Right? Yeah, I think if you're willing to be educated and you're interested, it should be financed by the state or the government.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, for the good of the country.
I thought I could go to this school and be in an obscene amount of debt. Like, I could go to NYU and I could be in an obscene amount of debt, or I could join the army and I'm a pacifist
or work at a fast
not.
Food place, you know, really.
Huh?
I mean, or you're talking about joining the armed forces or work at a fast food place. That's your choice.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Definitely not.
So the school that my dad taught at was like a really, they had a really cool major. It was called Performing Arts and Social Justice with a concentration in music.
Huh.
So I thought that that was a really cool.
That sounds cool.
I thought that was a really cool idea for a major, and they had this orientation, and the woman teaching it, she was like this tiny Colombian woman, from New York, just like loud and fierce as fuck, and just like a total just loud New York type. So she was teaching us about candomblé music and the different drum rhythms and things like that, and like these different cultures that how they do music in their cultures. And I thought that it was a really cool thing to learn about. So I wanted that. I I don't think music exists in a vacuum. I think that it definitely empowers people to do different things. So I thought that having that context would be really powerful in my own creative process.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Your
I like
your music,
it.
Like listening to your music and your album, what I like about it is that it is unexpected. In all honesty, even, you know, as obviously we get press releases and stuff like that, and you're, you know, read and check it out, but I would just listen. I just go, like, let me listen. And, you know, music to make you go, ooh, as the intro, it's like it opens the door. But then once you sit down, it changes on you, and then it changes again, and it changes again, and it's beautifully done. Lately I'm just so fascinated about how an album comes together, about what songs to put where, because it's not like you're just DJing or out there performing with a set list. It's so permanent, you know, and this is your debut album. Did that really kind of weigh on you, being a debut album, that this is the first, this is what you're going to always go back to, right? This is like the important one. And you said like it's been going since 2014. Did you just say that?
Yeah, I did release an EP in 2014. It wasn't an album. Quite honestly, no, it didn't weigh on me. I felt the need to finish these tracks, and I thought that a lot of these tracks were sitting in various levels of completion in my hard drive since about 2019 or 2020, and I just needed to release them because it just felt like it was weighing on me. And it turned out that I had about like 14 songs or so that could have made the cut, but I decided to pare it down to the ones that were the most important to me and true to me and would make people feel something and were cohesive. Like there is going to be a second album released right after this one that's a totally different sound. Yeah, I realized that this was the set of songs that work together cohesively as one unit, and then there's another set of songs that I wanted to include, but they didn't really vibe with this one very well. So I'm releasing a second album of songs because I realized I have a whole other sound that is much more like party, much darker, much like more hip hop bass, and this was the more R&B soul sound. So I thought that this was more polished, and I wanted this first because these songs definitely hit me more than the hip hop songs. But I mean, the hip hop songs are fun; they just don't like ring with as much truth as these other songs. But I am excited for this other release too. Like, I feel like it's the songs are more fun, I guess.
There's a class to this album though. It's got a real classy feel. Does that make sense? I don't think I've ever said that about an album, but it's got this classy feel. Like, it makes you feel like, you know, if you're going to drink wine to this, you better have some really good
best wine.
You better not be drinking
Boom Farm. Like,
you're
going
to get kicked out. Yeah. Like, there'll be no boxed wine actually, there's some good boxed wines out there. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's like you better put on some decent and at the same time, you can relax into it as well and be casual, but there's just, you can be casually classy, right?
I like to create with a certain level of elegance, I suppose. I like to create
good
and
word.
I like
That's
to polish.
Right.
And I like to, with every choice I make, I want it to have impact. I want it to have someone feel something. I want to do something new. So like every piece is just, it's very, what's the word? It's very organized with what I do.
Yeah, well,
you
can do like a themed album each time and you can change it up. I think that's what's beautiful about your style of music and what you're doing. That is, you can have different collaborators each time. It is like the creative, I think you'll keep your soul with who you are in the sound. I'm interested to hear the next album too, to see what happens in the sound, because this is what I have now. And but I feel like you have a specific sound in that underlying thing in there. Like, you know, it's you. You know,
Thank you.
Like, here's the water, and then the water can have all these floaty things in there and a little bass, and, you know. So it's like a pool party music, right?
But
I want to play the second track on here. Well, it's like the first full track, right? That's On You. Tell us about the singer. And I'm dying for Nancy. Nancy has not heard this. And I know the audience is going to love this too, but tell us about the singer and putting this together.
Do you want me to say that while it's running or after or
no,
during?
So
Kaylee is one of my best friends. I met her at the major at University of San Francisco, and we've remained friends and frequent collaborators. So she lived downstairs from me freshman year, and we got really excited. We started creating together. She dropped out of USF, and she decided, because she wanted a full music education, so she decided to drop out for a few years and make her chops better. So she ended up getting a full ride to Berklee School of Music.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's insanely talented as a musician. Yeah, she's
That's huge.
She's with this band right now, and they're on the same label as Fleet Foxes and a few other people like that.
Wow.
And she does her own music too. So we frequently create together, jive together. She's like one of my best friends. She's on a lot of my music. She's even the first EP, she like did background vocals for this old song that I had back in 2014. we've been creating together for a while. This song was created in my San Francisco apartment. So all the songs were created in San Francisco and basically finished in San Francisco, all recorded in this apartment I used to have in this tiny little hobbit hole of an apartment in the outer Richmond.
New York's not any better, right?
I got a lot more space in Brooklyn. it's kind of wild.
We know people have a bathtub in their kitchen in New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild. I moved out of San Francisco because it was stayed in San Francisco because it was cheap for me. Then I moved to New York for more space.
Wow.
So I realize no one else has that experience, but I guess I do. I don't know what I'm doing or at all how I'm existing in the world, but something's happening right for me, and I feel blessed to have that.
It's good to collect. You're collecting experience.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. And that is a critical thing for any artist, whether painting, singing, writing. No matter the genre, collecting experience is what art is.
And show
about it.
Getting it out
there. You collect it, and then you showcase it.
Yes.
Okay.
I always say the art tell the truth of the world.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, music does.
Definitely.
Music tells the truth of what's going on, whether it's with the artist or with something they've seen or created because something inspired them, but it tells the truth.
Right.
You know, political times, crazy times, good times.
Yes, what makes a difference in the world. It isn't politicians as much as they like to think it's them.
Oh, well, then we can just say that's on you.
I can say it. They're the catalyst, and then the artists come in and fix it.
That's it. Or, no, the artists are there, and we get to connect. You know, it's like it's the antidote. We need it. We need that help.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When things get wonky. And
well,
I think what's good with your music, like I said, it was classy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's an elevation, and you're right about elegance. There's an elevation where when things go bad, we kind of become like we want comfort food, couch potato mode, right? And your music is going, oh, hell no, we're going up. We're not going to go couch potato. We can be couch potato for a day or two when things go wrong, but we're not allowed to be couch potatoes forever because you won't survive and you won't thrive. Your music reminds us of this and to go up. So
have you heard of Jean Houston, the like spiritual teacher?
No.
Okay, so she has this idea that if you write out three things every day, your reality will radically change. She like three questions to ask yourself: what do you want from the universe? What does the universe want from you? And what can you and the universe co-create together? And the third answer I always give is raising frequencies through creative content, or some way of saying that. So I'm glad to hear that someone else is having that experience too.
Yes, creative consciousness, right?
That's always my answer.
Well, good. So it's like awesome. It connected. That's the first thing that came to me is like, oh, this is making us go up. Not up in happy, happy, joy. It's just kind of like value.
Yeah,
I totally know what you
value.
Mean.
You can always be better, do better, be better.
Yeah. Well, this is cool. All right. Well, then let's play That's On You. I'm excited. I can't wait to play this. Man,
okay.
Kaylee has an amazing voice, too. And this is a cool song.
She's excellent.
Oh. Take a listen, everyone. Because that's on you.
I don't mean to be rude, telling the truth when I know the truth hurts. And you're just so confused just to see the bubble burst. It's true that I am to blame. You stuck to my shoes, and I'm kind of ashamed. I snuck in your room, but you projected too much. I'm no Dr. Freud, but I know when to fold. Listen to me, boy. Don't leave a place that you stable. I can't make it clear. Is there water in your ears? Don't fall for fairy tales. Yeah, I might have come along, but I did not write that song. That's on you. I'm to blame. You stuck to my shoes, and I'm kind of ashamed. I snuck in your room, but you projected too much. I'm no Dr. Freud, but I know when to fold. Listen to me, boy. Don't leave a place at your table. I can't make it clear. Is there water in your ears? Don't fall for fairy tales. Ooh.
everyone. That's on you, and that is off of the new album by Resonator. It is out now. Go get it. And that, oh, my gosh, that voice and that song, right? The album is Closing the Golden Gate. It is out now, so go to resonator.com, and that's RZN8R.com. And we've got Derek with us, the Resonator, Derek Buckwalter, the Resonator here, and that was Kaylee singing Kaylee Earle. That is a hell of a song. I mean, her voice is incredible, but there's the bass just kind of does this sexy, it is the ultimate foundation, right? Yeah, it really, that is.
Brings you in.
Yeah, you like it, Dave?
That's a real bass. Yeah, that's a real bass.
Yeah, it brings you in. It's like, hey, wait, don't just go, oh.
You
gotta listen. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you gotta keep there. It's like keeps you going, and you're it settles you, you know, while she takes you on this journey. Tell us a little bit about the musical process of recording this, because you can say, okay, this is a real bass. You've got this electronic stuff going on. I mean, what happens, like, when you perform live, how much goes out?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening for people to understand? Because music is, everyone's doing it in so many different ways now, which is exciting, right? It's opened up so much, right?
So I have different ways I perform live. Either I use a program called Ableton, which allows you to have those electronic components live through just kind of having clips and having sounds there, and then you launch the clips. I use something called a push. It's this thing where you push buttons.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a really good name. Ableton makes it. So I use that some of the time, and then I DJ some of the time. I actually DJed last night for my friend's birthday. I played a bunch of different types of music that fit in this cohesive sound area, some a little heavier, some a little lighter. And then also I do this thing called like live vocal looping, where I use a microphone and just do it a cappella and do like a cappella arrangements of it. But there's multiple ways that I do it. I don't feel like there's one ultimate way to at least perform this type of music. So I like to keep my options open. I hadn't DJed in like 4 years. So I figure that DJing could be a cool way of recreating this music live. And then Ableton, me and Kaylee have played quite a few shows together where I'll be on the Ableton thing and I'll have her bass. Like sometimes she likes to play an upright bass. I'll have her bass plugged into my sound setup, and I'm like running effects live through it. And then that's kind of a cool way to perform and remixing what she's doing live. But live. And then sometimes I like to do that with the vocal looper. So I'm currently searching for the perfect way to make this a live performance. Creating the music, we just kind of throw stuff at the wall and see what works.
Yeah.
Like we see what will have an impact for someone. So like midway through the recording and composition process of this song, we felt the drums weren't hitting hard enough and just the chorus wasn't hitting hard enough. So I recorded her about 7 times over in that chorus doing different things. Mm-hmm. And then we wanted the percussion to hit harder. So my mother blessed me with all this West African percussion she picked up in Ghana in the 80s in the Ivory Coast. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, so when you hold these instruments, you I guess I sound a little woo-woo, but when you hold these instruments, you feel something.
They're real. Because
I could hear this song go back to Africa pretty well. We lived in Africa for most of our life.
Wow.
Like in Kenya and South Africa, and
in Kenya,
and there's,
your feet are on the ground.
Like, I think that's why I really love your album is that. Mm-hmm. And there's just a sound that this is going to sound so weird, but it's so true.
I know, but
there's music that comes out of South Africa where it's a mixed culture. You got
mm-hmm.
white and black.
Yeah.
You got hip colors. You got everybody. And the musicians and singers
yeah.
and the artistic group, when, you know, when I was there, was at in the middle of apartheid and the end of apartheid. And, you know, it's like in this country, we have so much racism and stupid stuff, right? And just
yeah.
stupid. Over there, they wrote it down. I mean, we had real slavery as livestock in books. You know, it's all horrible.
It's sad.
The arts. The artists never really cared about any of it. None of the artists in the world. Well, there's some. I mean,
well, they spoke out.
I don't want to start getting into that. But majority of the arts in the world. I mean, even Frank Sinatra with Sammy Davis Jr. getting him into shows in Vegas and,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
you've got the artists have always stood up for each other and never really cared
mm-hmm.
about skin color. And racism, you know, in fact, did a lot to open doors. And in South Africa, like, you know, there was stuff. And the music,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I go back to Brendan Ross, our friend. He was
yeah.
the keys and sax
mm-hmm.
player for Johnny Clegg.
Johnny Clegg.
And Savuka. Yeah, it's just, if you guys don't know him, check him out. He's like one of the most amazing artists. And
he's so good.
He's since passed, but... not Brendan, thank God.
Yeah.
But when we went to watch Brendan play, and we were all in high school together at the same time, and well, not in the same high school, but, you know, same era, and he was with this band called Flight. In fact, we still have photos Nancy took of him
mm-hmm.
for the magazine, and Nancy had the magazine in South Africa, and they're all black. And here's Brendan, as white as could be, like, you know, he shines.
Mm-hmm.
He's white.
That was cool.
And, you know, his dad is an amazing, you know, Peter Ross is incredible.
Oh, amazing.
The Sapphire jazz
mm.
band. Chet Atkins, like, that is Chet Atkins, his dad. Like, you know,
yeah.
like, that's the primo of that. But, like, the cult, like, they, when you were there in music, in the music world over there, everybody had this, I can't generalize, but I am just in general. It didn't matter. The musicians managed to work together and play together.
Absolutely.
No matter what the race was. And it wasn't
mm-hmm.
always the case, because you had some that weren't. So I have to be honest, but I'm going to say 80%, right?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
when I listened
at
to
least.
Your album, and I'm sorry it took a while to get back to that, but that's the truth. When I listened to that, I think that's exactly, as we were talking, it just hit me. That is what it is. You have that sound where there's this African thing going through, yet it's not 100% African. And I think that
mm-hmm.
is pretty damn cool. Because you would listen to this kind of music growing up. We heard, I listened to this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. That's kind of wild.
Do you
yeah.
remember, Lisa, in Kenya, the drummers coming in around
mm-hmm.
in this one particular place we stayed? They came around the pool, and the
mm-hmm.
African ladies came in, and it was all women playing drums. It was
hmm.
badass. It was so badass.
There's
and
nothing like African drums.
It was one of the most astounding things I've ever heard or seen or witnessed in the passion. And the, I mean, and they have whistles around their necks, like police whistles, kind of whistles. And they would beep, beep, and then the whole rhythm would change like split second. They're all on a new rhythm.
It's almost like a military thing.
It was crazy, but it was awesome. And they just had, and then the men came in, did their side, and then they split up, and the men were on one side of the pool, and women on the other side of the pool, and they had a drum off. It
was
like
that
one of
was
the best
a touristy
things.
Thing, though, what you're talking about.
But it was one of the
yeah.
best things I've ever seen with the drumming, because there were intermixed beats. Like, this would be like a beat from Asia, and this is like an African beat, and this is like, no, this is European. And they just gelled it all together and made it work. It was like mind-blowing.
Mm.
You didn't have to drink or take drugs. It was just crazy.
Yeah,
that's
well, that's what music can transfer.
Yeah,
that, you know?
It was.
But that's,
yeah,
but that's
it was,
I think,
badass.
Interesting with your music, what you're doing, and I think you could go all over the world with what you're doing in sound,
mm-hmm.
oh,
you know,
thank you.
Physically or not. You know what I mean? You can keep switching it up as you want, that you really have that kind of style, but keep your signature sound. You know what I mean? But you can still go everywhere. But yeah, that I think that's kind of wild. We had to like have this conversation for me to figure it out that it's the African thing.
It's,
yeah,
African
the African thing in there.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's huge.
Yeah, I just, yeah. I don't have necessarily, I almost feel like I'm appropriating it when I do it, but I like, I have this percussion. My mom was there in the 80s. Mm. This is like kind of a family heirloom type of thing where she just handed me this conga, this shaker, this rain stick at the very beginning there's the rain stick present in a few of the songs. It's like this, it's a rain stick from Ghana. It's an 80s
That's
rain
awesome.
Stick. It's older than
That's
me.
Cool. That's
so
awesome.
Listen, when you are doing this music,
this
right,
cool.
So you have those sounds and you can, you know, like my old school way of recording is, you know, in a recording studio and everyone's got their instruments, some are separated, or you're doing it live together in a room. So like when you perform, and you're doing this kind of digital electronic loopy-doo thing, right, that is so foreign to us. Like, is it like, are you, will you sample those sounds and then put them into the mix? Like,
you just kind of decide what you want to do live and what you don't want to do live.
Okay.
You decide what would be the most interesting thing to do to showcase live and what would be something that's not interesting to showcase live. Like, is watching someone shake a shaker interesting to watch live? Well, no. Is someone maybe doing some weird synth line? Would that be cool to do live and watch someone do live? Yeah, probably. Would someone like mangling a synth sound cool to watch live? Yeah, probably. So you just kind of decide what.
Oh, okay.
Would be
so
it's more of like a visual aspect. Like with electronic music, a lot of it is what someone can experience live, what they want to experience live, and just getting them in that otherworldly space. Like that's part of the reason why I feel like electronic music has visuals going on a lot of the time, because people want to see. They want to see something. Like Pretty Lights is an artist his music's great, but oh my God, his visuals are amazing. If you ever want to watch someone do electronic stuff live, Pretty Lights is an inspiration of mine. I saw him live a few times. Well, as live as he could be.
What about Diplo? Have you connected with his stuff or seen him perform?
His stuff is cool. It's much more of like a DJ type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's much more like dancey. I don't really do the thing how people phrase it is four on the floor, where it's like da 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 da. And that's not something I strive to create.
That's the thing about the class. And I'm not saying Diplo's not classy, but sorry dude. But and that's what I think about. There's like this scene that you have set. It's like you walking in the door. Like I said, you open the door. It's like you've entered this party, but it's classy. It's got people with different experiences because you have different singers. So like it's almost like you're going to a cocktail party. I feel poolside with it. Maybe it's because we're here at a really nice place with a nice pool. I feel poolside, and then you're meeting the different singers. And, you know, you have this experience, but you're in the same place, and that's where you come in with your signature style, right?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. A lot of people have described it that way as, Derek, you're so different. The sound you do is just so different between songs, but I can always tell it's you. You have that signature. And the guy
that's
who's
really
the mixing
good.
Engineer. Yeah, this guy, thank you. This guy who's the mixing engineer of the record, he's super nice. He's great person. He's my neighbor now, so whenever I have him,
oh, that's handy.
Sometimes you just need it, but yeah. Sometimes you need a second set of ears in the room, and he lives like three stops down on the L train. That's the train I take to work, and just how I get out of the. Yeah, that's the subway stop, I think. So he's like three stops down on the L train, and he said, Derek, I think it's the roads that you have. It's like the moodiness of the roads that you have that kind of keeps everything cohesive, and it's the mindset and that you operate from that makes everything sound somewhat cohesive.
Yeah, because you could trip out. You could really trip out and not have it congealed. You know what I mean? It's like here's scrambled eggs versus your eggs Benedict, where you've got to still have the egg not overrun and the hollandaise sauce not be too watery, you know. So you've got that it's an eggs Benedict sound, right? It's that perfect balance. You've got the crunchiness.
I like that.
You've got that texture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is.
Always
that's
one
it.
More layer.
Yes, because it's the layers. You got to have the perfect egg.
You
got to
have the
layer. Runny. Yeah, and it cannot be rubber. It can't be rubber. And then you get the ham, or to me, avocado was even better.
You got to do the layers.
But you got to do the layers, and you got to have the feel. Some say the mouth feel, but we're doing texture and sound. And so, and then the toast, the egg, the muffin thingy, can't be too burnt. And, that's the class.
The layers have to work with each other. They can't all be the top
cohesive
layer.
And now I would like an Egg Benedict brunch. Thank you very much.
I'm hungry now.
Yes, I know. Can we have brunch? Let's have brunch. This is great.
Let's have brunch.
Actually, I think your music would go really nice for a brunch sound, too. Like, you could do that. Like,
okay.
It's good.
Yeah,
I like it. I like it. So, everyone, Closing the Golden Gate is the album again, Resonator. And so you have another album coming out. So when do you think that's going to happen?
Probably August.
August.
So probably August or September. I want to release it as this was the light side, the other side is the dark side. It's like a yin and yang type of thing going on. So I want to release them both. The idea is have them both released before I'm 30. And I turn 30 on September 30th. So I'm wanting both albums. This is my intention. I'm wanting both albums released into the world before September 30th.
Hmm. How about an Equinox album?
Yeah. And then, so the other one is going to be called Water Under the Bridge.
Oh, cool.
Because, there's Closing the Golden Gate, which is a bridge, and then Water Under the Bridge. This time, instead of the Golden Gate Bridge, it's the Brooklyn Bridge. Same artist who designed both covers to keep it cohesive, too. She's a New York person, too. She's based out of Brooklyn, too. I met her in San Francisco at a punk show, and we've kept in touch ever since. She's from Brazil, so her style is just really, really cool.
I love how she did the cover. Yeah, how she did the Golden Gate, like, it's like, you know, the colors, too, because you don't expect that, right? Everybody wants the red.
No.
Yeah, and it's like, it's nice, and then having, like, those brush strokes, like, brushy kind of at the top is cool. So, and Brooklyn Bridge is kind of similar in a way from what I've seen. And actually, we interviewed people who did the whole Brooklyn Bridge Park thing years ago.
Oh, cool.
Of how they created the whole thing, and... You know, it's like no sleep till Brooklyn, right?
You know, you're born on September 30th. You're born on one of the nature's cycles of switching between. No, he's going from Virgo to Libra.
I don't know. We have to call Mama Babushka.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a tarot reader that comes on our show. Would you like to talk to Mama Babushka? I think we need to see if Mama Babushka will come in. Will she come in? Let's see. Let me see if we can find her. I'll try. Okay, we all have to think really nice Babushka thoughts, and hopefully we can get her to come on. Let me see. Sometimes when I play the happy hour music, she comes in. Let me see. Maybe that works. No, that's the wrong music. Let's see. Let's see if we can find her.
Your
Babushka.
Music.
Oh, she's
I come because you play wrong music. Well, no. You play the right music or don't play at all.
That's your okay, fortune
Mama
for Babushka. Yours. Okay. Now, I want to talk about cusp of beauty. When you are born between two planets, end of month, beginning of month, you have split personality. It's a good thing because you have double talent. When you handle
Mama
it
Babushka,
right.
Are you talking about the resonator or are you talking about me? Because I'm like at the
I'm
end
now
of
talking about resonator. It's got the Virgo and the Libra.
Well, I'm a little jealous. Okay, go ahead.
Well, too bad. You mess up song. So he is under Mercury and Venus. Now you got one. Mercury's hot fire passion.
Ooh.
And you got Venus. It's all calm down, be lovey dovey.
Better than
now,
Venus.
What is better for writing music and song? You got the fire and then you got the passion. See?
Hmm.
It's perfect for you're born, you have big responsibility. You are on the cusp of beauty. You must use it for good. And you make the most of your talent because it is there. You dig deep. And when you think you're digging deep, dig again, deeper. You go deeper. Think.
Mm.
And sometimes go outside at night, at midnight, watch planets merge. You'll see. You'll find songs in the twilight.
Hmm.
Well, thank you, Mama Babushka. Resonator, do you have any questions for Mama Babushka before she disappears again and flies between planets?
Hmm.
Okay, you can think.
How can I create better?
Empty mind. Don't go with what everybody says. Do this, do that. No. Empty mind, go aside. Go to nature, you listen, you're grasshopper, you're cicada, you're night birds. There are birds at night, they sing. Go here. Create from that.
Thank you, Mama Babushka. Always good to have you pop in the show in between your planetary flying. And don't forget to park your broom. Well, Resonator, you're like the first one who's drawn Mama Babushka out in a while, so that's pretty good.
Oh, wow.
You're obviously doing something good. Yeah, you're doing something good. That's fun. Thank you. You're a good sport. And listen, we're going to close with, Thought of It. So tell us about, is it Xander Beltran that's on this, Thought of It? Am I saying
his
name right?
Yeah, he's a friend out of San Francisco. He is a very accomplished comedian as well, too.
Sweet.
So he's played The Punchline. He's played a lot of venues. And
cool.
We decided to start creating music together. We've had a few songs together. I just wanted this song to reflect what we're feeling, where we're kind of like, we like the idea of something, but the reality of it doesn't always match up to that. So there's about seven people on this chorus. There's my girlfriend on the chorus. Yeah, she's that high soprano voice. There's another friend who I've known since 2002 from Berkeley. She's on there too. They're both classically trained. I'm on the chorus. I'm a classically trained vocalist. The guy who sings in the window, which is another song, he's on that chorus.
Cool,
yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah, thank you. He's on there. He's doing in the second chorus, he's doing the extra part at the very end of the chorus. Xander's on the chorus. I think there might be a few other people on the chorus that aren't coming to mind right now, but it's the ultimate vocal stack song. My friend Austin really inspired me to do vocal stack songs. He's released a few things, and what I've heard from him, he just has these songs where there's so many people on the chorus, and I just love the impact that has. So we started this song back in 2019, and it was one of the reasons why I wanted to make the album was the song was sitting on my hard drive, and I was in a level of completion that I was having trouble mixing the chorus because I couldn't decide what vocals were more important. And like in mixing, you have to create the conscious choice of what is important, what's not as important, what's second, what's primary, secondary, and ornamental. And the problem with my music is I feel like I'm doing things that other people aren't doing. I don't want to sound conceited, but I feel like it's just kind of true. Like a lot of people aren't making music the way I do. So I just didn't know. There's no roadmap when you're making the trail, you know? So I decided to finish the song. This song was actually the reason why I finished the album, was because I wanted songs to support this song, really. Oh, and the song that's after Thought of It, the song with Kaylee that's on there, Which Way Is Up, that's another reason why I wanted to create the album. So those two last songs are definitely highlights of the album. That's why I put them last.
Which Way Is Up is really cool. It's really cool. And by the way, I like all of them. But I do want to give a little note out to Aphrodite in Chains. There's a little magical being in that that's like trippy. That's trippy. That's trippy.
Yeah.
That's like a trippy little like dingle jangle. Like it's glittery, but it's in Chains. So
Thank you.
Go ooh, yeah. So everyone, you just gotta get the album. But we're gonna close with Thought of It, and please keep us posted as you move forward in your music. It's exciting, Resonator. Derek Resonator, everybody, again, it's rzn8r.com. Closing the Gate, the Golden Gate album is out now, so you can go get it. Also, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We want to thank the National Parks Arts Foundation for sponsoring today's show. Keep up with them at the National National Parks Arts Foundation.org.
Cool.
They're really cool. They do artist residencies in national parks across the country. Musicians, welcome. Just saying, Derek, how does it sound to go to Hawaii Volcanoes National Park for a month, stay in a 5 to 6 bedroom house that overlooks the ocean with a recording studio? I'm just saying.
That sounds amazing. I'd be excited to see what I can make with that.
I know. And then they have one that's out in Dry Tortugas National Park on your own. On your own island, Loggerhead
island.
Key, off the grid. So, I'm serious. It's like they are badass. I know they're a nonprofit. I'm probably not supposed to say badass, but they are the most badass arts nonprofit, you know, because
it's
you go
so
places
cool.
like Chaco Canyon with all the ceremonial sites. They are amazing. So NationalParksArtsFoundation.org, we do a show with them every first Friday where we interview artists while they're in residence most of the time, unless they're on Dry Tortugas, we can't because, like, they're off grid. But we, you know, so stay tuned for that. And we're going to close with Thought of It. Thank you again so much, Derek. It's been a real pleasure.
It was fun.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me on.
And don't forget everything that Mama Babushka told you. Hot Mama Babushka.
I
not
will.
Just Mama. It's Hot Mama Babushka. All
okay.
right. Here it is. Thought of It.
I think I just like the thought of it. It sounds so good. It looks so fun. Maybe someday. I think I just like the thought. That's it. Till I change moves, said and done. Maybe one day. No. Maybe one day the thoughts will change. It comes with age, but I still feel the same, and ain't it strange? I'd rather lay in the fray, rather get lost on the page. I like the new places step when I don't. But where even is home? I've been walking alone, I like walking alone, but not for too long. I need try to keep up. That's why I need breaks, please. You see, I'm more like the breeze. I know just what I need, and I just need time to do. I think I just like to settle in. It sounds so good, it looks so fun, maybe.